Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. Today, we read from St. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 11 through 14. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. Jesus is unique among all religious leaders in the history of the world. All other religious leaders spoke with wisdom they gained by observation, study, and contemplation. Jesus is the wisdom of God. All other religious leaders spoke with words that attempted to connect with God or with whatever served as their God. Jesus is the Word. He is true and eternal wisdom. He is the eternal Word become flesh. When Jesus teaches us, God is teaching us because Jesus is God. King David prayed, "The Lord is my shepherd." Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He is David's Lord and the Lord of all the faithful throughout the ages. Jesus is unique among all religious leaders in the history of the world because Jesus is divine. He did not become divine. He is eternally divine. He became a man. He is God incarnate. As Isaiah said, he is Emmanuel, God with us. As St. John writes, he is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is unique among all religious leaders in the world because only Jesus gave his life for us. That's not to say that other religious leaders didn't lose their lives. Many did. Joseph Smith, for example, died with a gun in his hand in the Nauvoo, Illinois jail at the hands of an angry mob, having been imprisoned for violating the law against polygamy. But there was no value in his death, except perhaps to inspire his followers to leave the Midwest for scenic Utah. Only Jesus gave his life as something of true value, even if his offering of his life had been only the offering of an example. It would have been a precious offering. Who has ever provided a better example for living than Jesus of Nazareth? St. Peter, a witness to Christ's suffering, wrote of him, "Who committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." Compare the value of Jesus' example to that of Muhammad, who taught his followers to exact revenge and to punish with the sword those who would not submit to the authority of Islam. Jesus' willingness to suffer gross injustice without complaint has inspired countless imitators over the years. Even those who have not confessed him as their Savior have been instructed by his example. But when Jesus gave his life for his sheep, he did not do so merely as an example. He offered his life in the place of the lives of the sheep. He substituted his life for their lives. This is what makes him uniquely able to give life. No one else can give life. Only the one who gave his life for the sheep can give life. He is the only one who has suffered our death. All men suffer death. They suffer their own death. Every single man, woman, and child will die. Everyone who hears my voice right now will die. But only Jesus died the death of us all. When he gave his life for us, he died our death. He suffered. As St. Peter writes, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. The hymnist notes the divine irony in that suffering when he writes, "What punishment so strange is suffered yonder? The shepherd dies for sheep that loved to wander." This is how the good shepherd lays claim to the sheep. He purchased them. They are his, not by some kind of imposition of force, but they are his by his passive endurance. He suffered for them. That is, he suffered the guilt of their sin. He suffered the divine punishment of their sin. He bore their sin. That's how he set them free, and now they belong to him. The hireling doesn't own the sheep. The good shepherd owns the sheep. And that spells the difference between Jesus and all other religious leaders in the history of the world. Jesus only can lay claim rightly to ownership. Now, that's not to say that other religious leaders don't claim ownership or something like it, from the most famous to the most obscure, and you watch them as they gather disciples running after themselves. Go to a bookstore, a religious bookstore, or a Walmart or Sam's Club, and see all of the popular books written by multimillionaires who bring more and more followers to their own words of wisdom. But how can one person own another person's soul? It simply isn't possible unless that person is Jesus, the shepherd and bishop of our souls, who purchased us with his own blood. The only legitimate spiritual care is that which is offered by Christ. And here's why. Christ alone is the good shepherd, and all others are hirelings. Jesus gives his life for the sheep. The hirelings work for pay. The sheep are to be fleeced for the benefit of the one who makes a living off of them. Now, one will not die willingly for a commodity to be traded. "Give me your money or your life." Most people will give away the money. So when the sheep, which are simply possessions, are threatened by the wolf, the hireling is going to run away. Now, what does all of this mean? Jesus is talking in picture language. The wolf is the devil. He kills and devours the sheep. A sheep doesn't stand a chance against a wolf. He can only bleat and run, but he can't hide and he can't fight. He can only be killed, and he will be. Now, a wolf kills sheep and eats them because that's his nature. And it's the nature of the devil to kill Christians. He craves to kill them, as a murderer craves to murder. He kills and devours them because this is what brings him satisfaction. It is his nature to do so, and his nature will not change. We are talking about spiritual realities here. The devil kills and devours Christians by attacking and destroying their faith. He always follows the same strategy, and this entails a twofold attack. He attacks the life and the faith. First, he attacks the life. He leads the Christian into sin. And then when the Christian is guilty, the devil uses that guilt to accuse the Christian in such a way that the Christian runs away from God. Once the Christian can no longer hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, he is lost and easy prey. Now, the hireling can offer some help up to a point. He may be working for pay, but he certainly knows what works when it comes to living a decent and productive life. He knows right from wrong in a general sense. He teaches morality. He teaches successful living. He provides helpful hints on how to overcome various emotional problems. He can inspire people's devotion. He can lead them where they ought to go in their quest to live happy lives here on earth. But when the wolf attacks, the hireling is helpless. The wolf leads us into sin. The hireling can't deal with sin. The wolf grabs us by the throat to rip it out and kill us dead. The hireling can't deal with death. Only the Good Shepherd bore our sin in his own body. Only the Good Shepherd died our death. He alone can lead us out of death into life. The hireling can help us only until we are faced with our own mortality brought about by our own sin. In other words, when we really need spiritual counsel because our lives depend on it, it is then that the hireling will run away and leave us to the tender mercies of the hungry wolf. The wolf comes and scatters the sheep. He drives the individual sheep out of the fold. He wants to isolate a sheep away from the fold. He wants to be alone for his kill. That's his sustenance, and it is our death. The devil drives the individual Christian away from the church, away from the voice of the Good Shepherd. The sheep recognize the voice of their shepherd. As long as they hear his voice, they're safe, because all they need to do is to stay close to that voice, and their shepherd will protect them from the wolf. They can't protect themselves, but the shepherd can. And this is why we need to go to church faithfully. And not just to any church, but to a church where the true voice of the Good Shepherd is proclaimed. We need to hear the gospel. We need to hear the refutation of the devil's lies. We need to be convicted in our conscience of our sins. God knows all about us. He sees us as we really are, but he doesn't reject us on account of our sins, leaving us to fend for ourselves, but he takes those condemning sins upon himself. He suffers our condemnation for us. This is what it means that the Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And then this same shepherd speaks his sheep here. He knows them. He knows their sins because he suffered for them. He knows their fears because he faced them. He knows the sheep better than they know themselves. And they know him. They know his gospel. They know when they are being set free and when they are being bound. And that's why they won't go to where the hireling sets up shop, because they want more than helpful hints on how to feel good about themselves. They want life. And only the one who gave his life for them can give true life to them. There's no greater honor than to be a sheep of the Good Shepherd. A sheep isn't very bright. We admit our innate spiritual folly. But a sheep does recognize his shepherd's voice. We know the gospel when we hear it. We know when our souls are being set free from the guilt we are bearing, and when the gate of heaven is open to us. The voice of our Good Shepherd is the sound we cherish the most, for he never fails us in our need. And when we are assaulted by a guilty conscience and the accusations of the devil, he drives the devil away, and he brings us true and lasting peace. We thank you for being with us this morning on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. Christ for Us is sponsored by First Confessional Lutheran Parish. We invite you to come to visit one of the congregations of our parish. At 8 o'clock Sunday morning, we have divine service at First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, Minnesota. At 9:30 on Sunday morning, we have divine service at Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, Minnesota. And at 11:30 on Sunday morning, we have divine service at First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, North Dakota. If you'd like to know a little bit more about what we believe and teach and confess, please log on to www.christforus.org. And there you will find sermons, both written and audio, and papers and links and other interesting things. Please tune in next Sunday morning for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.